KGVM FM 95.9, KGVM.org. These are your radio sites for great programming, including this show, Health and Happiness, a presentation supported by the Public Education Committee of the Montana Psychological Association and hosted by me, Dr. Arliss Wood, psychologist, and Dr. Suzanne Wood, speech-language pathologist. Today's program is another good one. Dr. Suzanne now introduces.
From the Centers for Disease Control, the American Medical Association, the Mayo Clinic, and all available research, there is some really good news. You don't have to age in place and deteriorate as you get older. You have options. I reflected on this recently when a person I know who's in his 50s said about his wife, who's in her later 40s, well, she's going to be showing her age and generally getting weaker over the next few years. Well, what if instead she began getting stronger? There is such lovely research that supports the absolute ability to get stronger at any age. We're here to talk about that today with a couple who are the living embodiment of the benefits of exercise. We'd like to welcome Shirley and Lane McNeil. We really appreciate you being with us tonight to talk about this interesting, fantastic, and helpful topic. Welcome, Shirley.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that nice, warm welcome.
And welcome, Lane. We're glad to have you both. First, go right ahead, Lane. Sorry.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
We just wanted to ask in the beginning, have you always been wedded with exercise, or did it come about with a realization you needed to exercise? Tell us your stories.
I guess for me, I was born in Great Falls at Malmstrom Air Force Base. I cost my mom about $5 at the time. That's how much it was to have a baby then. But we grew up doing a lot of camping. But honestly, my parents, my dad especially, it pretty much had to have an engine with it. So we like to be in the motorboat, okay, and we did water ski then, and again, we like to camp and get outside, but we didn't do a lot of skiing and what things like that. Fishing was important to my folks, and so we learned that as I was growing up, and I think Lane had a very different story. Yeah.
When did you get started in exercise?
Well, the thing I've always, and this is what connected us, Dr. Wood, is dance. When I was little, I loved dance. I remember putting little Elvis records on and me and my sister dancing in our room. And it was something I was drawn to, dance and music. And so, as I was growing up, I was involved in both. Both, not professional dance at all, but I was just drawn to it. So I was not formally involved in exercise until I went to college. And there I was drawn to classes because I moved out to California. I didn't know anybody at the time. And so I found myself lonely. And I'm a pretty social person, and so I was going to different classes, and I thought, I love this. I just feel so much better when I'm with other people and I'm doing something for my body, and I thought maybe I could get certified in teaching myself. So that was the start of it for me, and I really love seeing people smile and seeing people doing something good for themselves. And so I've actually been certified since probably 1988 in the American Council of Exercise.
Fantastic.
So that's my beginning, which is very different than what my folks did, you know. Mm-hmm. But still, they gave me that love of movement and being outside, because I think that you don't have to go to classes, right, to get exercise. Nope. It's just being outside is so beautiful. And Lane, if you want to share too how you started out.
Yeah, my situation was much different. I was born here in Bozeman, and my dad pretty much worked all the time, and so my mom took me to see her family in West Yellowstone pretty much every weekend. And we would do water skiing in the summer, or camping, or sometimes we would ride horses and go up into the mountains. And then in the winter, we would snowmobile and ski. Different things like that. We would dig snow caves up at West Yellowstone back when the snow was much deeper than it is these days. And we're always doing things outside. My mom had a love of movement in the outdoors. She grew up doing that herself, and she had my sister and I doing that from, you know, when we were very young. And then we moved later eventually to live south of Big Timber, south of McLeod, by the Natural Bridge, and we lived on a ranch out there. And so I was by myself, and I rode motorcycles pretty much all the time to entertain myself in the much of the time. And then I would fish and do things outdoors. So since then, we've tried, you know, about everything there is to do in Montana, just about, whether it be windsurfing, or I haven't done any hang gliding or anything like that here, but we've done many other activities here. So that's a big part of my life.
That's just excellent to hear. I had a quick question for Shirley. She talked about being an exercise teacher and talked about loving to see all the smiles and happiness, and I know that does evolve to that, but a lot of times when people start, aren't there like moans and groans and people complaining that they're now going to probably die?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I have seen that too. And you know, and there's a lot of different personalities and different attitudes out there. Like if someone feels perhaps like they're embarrassed to do what we're doing, they might not. What I'm trying to say is everyone finds something different that works for them, right? Like, mm-hmm. Lane might not want to come and do Zumba dance with me, but there's other people that have a very stressful job, and I screw up all the time when I'm teaching Zumba, and it doesn't matter. All it matters is just have fun. And so no matter what type of class I'm teaching, whether it's yoga or Pilates or muscle conditioning, where we're working all the parts of the body, or we're dancing, I really want every single person that walks into that room to feel welcome and to feel comfortable. And one of the wonderful ladies out at the hot springs that comes to my class, she told me that they're an older couple, and she said her husband will not go to any classes at all other than mine, which really made me feel really good, you know, that he feels comfortable and welcome. And I try to give modifications so that if you have an injury, or if you're just coming back in after some event or whatever, that you can feel accomplished and you can feel good about yourself, and you get that community. Because I think most people love to be with other people and, you know, feel part of a group. And that means a lot to me, because that's how I was welcomed in when I was when I was younger and lonely.
Well,
and working on my engineering
this.
Degree, you know, I was working, I had some stress working on an engineering degree. So anyway.
Big time stress. Well, I can tell you that one of the best things for people is to interact with one another. And for some, that's really difficult. So it sounds like to me that you really do work hard to make your classes welcoming, friendly, and even though there might be moans and groans in the very beginning, to help people start with a comfortable level and just improve. And of course, as you get through with your exercise and through it, then that's when you begin to see smiles. And I think Arliss has a note about exercise here.
Yeah, there's a Harvard study by Robinson, Siegel, and Smith in trying to answer the question, how does exercise improve mental health? Well, exercise is not just about aerobic capacity and muscle size. Exercise can improve your physical health and your physique, trim your waistline, improve your sex life, and even add years to your life. But that's not what motivates most people to stay active. People who exercise regularly tend to do so because it gives them an enormous sense of well-being. They feel more energetic throughout the day, sleep better at night, have sharper memories, and feel more relaxed and positive about themselves and their lives. And it's also a powerful medicine for many common mental health challenges.
Thank you. So there's a really massive and wonderful research base to the values of those things that you, Shirley, and Lane are describing to us, being active, whatever form it takes, that's the thing. Any form of exercise, workout, walking, we'll go over a lot of these, but it's just imperative for mental and physical health. It's very sad to think that 53 million people in the United States have diabetes, or one in six Americans. One in six people also will have a stroke. Right now, every 40 seconds, someone has a stroke. Think how many that is just during this program. So when Arliss and I talk about exercise, we see it in a different light, that it's life-saving, mood-changing, it's research-based, and some form of exercise everyone needs to get started on, no matter what your age. Working with a rehab team of therapists, I've worked to bring 98-year-old people back from being totally weak to be able to go back home. And it involves, guess what, gradual, beautiful exercising of those skills and physical traits that support health. So Shirley and Lane, we wanted to explore a little bit more. One thing, Shirley, I'd like for you to give the people listening some ways to connect with you. And please describe your classes. Say what they are and what you do and what levels. And then tell us how to get a hold of you and how to find you, where you're located, please.
Oh, sure. Sure. One other quick thing before I do that, that I was thinking about as you were reading that wonderful research you just shared. I just got back from a health and wellness convention down in Denver, and some of the leading doctors that we met with down there shared some really interesting things about what you put in your body also, you know, because exercise is really important. They were saying one of the statistics that they shared was that between 1995 and 2025, the obesity rate here has doubled in the United States, you know, and so exercise is a key part of that, and also to what you put in your body, because you can exercise hard, but that is also, you know, the body needs, I mean, just to survive, you need oxygen, you need water, you need food, right? But the nutrition matters as well. And
exactly.
So that is part of what is important to me too, what we fuel our body with, and that can affect how we feel in terms of our happiness also. So anyway, that's something we can explore also. But I teach at a couple different places. And it depends on, I mean, there's lots of places to go to classes. But where I teach is at Bozeman Hot Springs. Okay, so that is one where I do a class where we combine yoga and Pilates. And it's a really nice class that is on Mondays at lunchtime, if that works for people. And I can share that website if you'd like.
Yes, please.
It's, okay, it's bozemanhotsprings.co.
Okay.
And I would think it would be .com, but what I copied off was Bozeman Hot Springs. If you just Google Bozeman Hot Springs, it will come up, and there's a link that says class schedule. And there's lots of wonderful classes there, okay? So that's one option. If they want to come see me, come on Monday. And Monday I have a very big birthday coming up, so I'll be teaching that day, which will be fun. I also teach at Access Fitness on North 7th, and we have a website there too. It's bozeman.accessfitness247.com. And Suzanne, if this is too tricky to write down, they can also email me. And, you
Let's
know, depending on what they're
yes.
interested in, like we do martial arts too. And we had a camp this weekend where whole families are involved in this. It's beautiful to see the happiness and the self-confidence that this brings to our young people. And we have people that are over 70 in there too. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful. It's like a community. But my email.
Yes.
But my email is Shirley, Shirley, at livelifefitmt, like Montana, .com.
Okay, perfect.
And they could call me, too. I mean, they could call me. If I'm working full-time, both Lane and I are senior engineers. We're at the place where we work, and so it's kind of tricky to answer during the day, but if person wanted to reach me, they could text me, and then I can call them in the evening at 406. It's 406-570-9046. What were you saying?
You didn't answer your schedule on classes at Access Fitness.
Oh gosh. Suzanne, did you guys want to know what classes I teach at Access?
Yeah, a quick rundown of those. And could you give us that phone number again? I thought I got some extra numbers in there.
Okay, sorry. It's 406-570-9046.
Got it. Thank you.
And I think the easiest thing is to look at the class schedule at Access, but I teach a muscle conditioning class on Tuesday nights with a half hour of dance. Today, on Wednesdays, I teach a class that it combines yoga and Pilates. And Thursdays, I do a class where we work on muscle conditioning, too. And I have all ages, you guys, all ages in these classes. And the other thing about community is if I'm teaching on a Saturday, we are right across from the Farmer's Daughter,
okay,
which is a little cafe, and a lot of us go over there, and we have coffee together, and we visit afterwards, and it's become quite a nice little thing to do.
Yes,
and
a good spot.
Got close relationship with people, you know?
Yes. We've noted that over the years, that your exercise, your running, whichever groups, you tend to get a support group, a peer group, friends, all of that together, which is, of course, instrumental in mental health, very much so. Well, that is a good rundown of all of those things. And I just wanted to tell a story from a person named Anna, and she reported that emotional eating, because she was depressed, led her to gain weight and become pre-diabetic and depressed. And this is how she got her health back on track. I feel phenomenal now, she says, but she remembers the exact moment she vowed to lose weight and get healthier after reaching almost 380 pounds on the scale.
Oh my gosh.
She was at an amusement park and excited to go on the roller coasters with her two stepsons, but she couldn't fit on any of the rides. Hager was in tears and remembered her dad, who was also heavy. There we have the model for that. And he could never go on the rides with her when she was a girl. All of a sudden, it just hit me. I was like, you're that parent now, and you don't want to be that person. Hager, 29, who lives in Boise, Idaho, told Today.com, she said, that is enough, and she lost her weight down to normal weight via diet and good exercise, which she maintains to this day. So there's a story of someone who had to realize there was going to be a difficult path, but I'm sure along the way she found helpful, kind, friendly people to work with her.
I think I read in that story that the first thing that she did, she decided she wanted to run, and she ran for 30 seconds. That was her first effort. And now she's actually running a 100-mile, one of those ultra marathons, this coming, or at least right after she wrote this article or reported on it. So her particular strength was running, and I realize that's not for everybody, but that's what she did.
Wow, what a beautiful story.
I have another story. It's kind of funny.
I think it's one she told you before.
Well, I've told this
before. I want to hear it.
I've told this before on the show, but if it helps even one or two people, it's kind of worth telling you. Again, in my 50s, and I'd been so busy being a speech pathologist, a mom, you know, wife, doing all this stuff, working at the university, and I just hadn't felt like I had any time for exercise, and I started to realize, goodness, I've never had a weight problem, but I might be gaining a few pounds, and you know, I just really began to take account of where I was. And so we happened to live right in front of our house. If you walked out the door, you could walk around a beautiful park, and it was exactly a 1 mile walk around the park. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to walk around the park. And it was just relaxing and nice. I would do this early in the morning before work. And pretty soon, it was just easier to run a few steps in between. It just felt good. And then after a while, running got you there faster, and I just began running. And then I got it up to 3 miles, and I just loved this. And I told my husband, can we go do a few 5Ks? So we did one or two. And then I said, for my birthday, and this, by now I'm 64, I said, could we go, please, to somewhere fun and do a 5K for my birthday? And he chose New Orleans. And we went to New Orleans to the Rock and Roll Marathon. And we were, of course, just going to do the little 5K, so we didn't eat or drink much that morning. We just thought we'll have a big lunch right after our little 5K. So I'm out there. I start running. Arliss is in the same one. He's up ahead of me. And so as I'm running along, I think, okay, I've been running a long time here. And I kept running and running, and finally I turned to the person next to me, and I said, are we in the 5K? She said, oh, no, honey, you're in the marathon.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so here I am in my shorts in New Orleans, no money, no phone. What are you going to do? It made me so mad. I ended up running that half marathon, 13.1 miles. Of course, by the time I finished, 2.5 hours later, I thought I was probably surely going to perish.
I bet.
And Artis had done the same thing and was looking everywhere for me. So we both accidentally did a marathon, a half marathon. And I would have promised you I couldn't do a marathon. I didn't want to do a half marathon. But, you know, after that, we did it about 10 more times before we moved up here. And 1 year, I won third place.
In age division. Yeah.
In my division.
So wow.
I would have told you none of that was at all possible. So that's my reach out to some of the people out there about at any age, you can get better and you can work it. And so how's that for a funny story?
That's an awesome story. Really awesome. Impressive, too, I'll say. You just went and did it. Half marathon.
You know, I didn't have much choice, honey, but thank you.
Yeah.
They had very poor signage because I didn't see the sign either, and we both, I'd never run one before, but we did that day, and it started an additional decade of doing it. Yeah. I also wanted to ask you, do you have any people who are disabled in your classes? The reason I bring that up is that very few people know that the world record is held, I think it's still held by, on 100 meters, by Usain Bolt. I think he's of Jamaica, I'm not sure. And I think he still holds it. He may hold the 200-meter world record, too. But he has, of all things, scoliosis. He doesn't have it in a remarkably marked way. To see him walk, he probably couldn't tell it very much. But he has a more than slight curvature of the spine. But he has learned to compensate for that and still holds, I think it's about 10 years now, the world record for that. But anyway, do you have people or do you know places in the city that would entertain people with disabilities coming in?
I don't have any people in my class. I mean, there's always people coming in that would have an injury, but not necessarily a disability, other than one man that always comes to my class. And I think I don't know exactly what the issue is, but I think it's Downs. But he really loves to come, even though he's not exercising very much. But he loves the interaction with the people.
Oh, that's great.
He wants to talk to them all the time. And I say, okay, Thomas, you got to change your hand grip this way, you know. And he said, I got my own mat. And he was so excited last night that he made it to class because he said, I've been trying for 2 days. But anyway, I don't know. To answer your question, I mean, I do have people that have injuries, but not necessary disabilities other than what I just said. And do you know any place, Lane? But I could look into that for you.
Might
you know,
be a good idea to consider a class that would work with those with disabilities and find a way to make it possible for them to exercise using whatever methods are needed. So that might be a goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like the biggest obstruction that I have found to exercise is that we, as our life has been, is always interruptions. Things that get in the way. Some people are so organized that they can stay with it no matter what and tell people to wait their turn because they have to go exercise. Well, I haven't been good at that. The one thing I have been good at doing is that even if you miss a few days for whatever reason, not wanting to, it's like I have eternally begun to start again. Start again. Always start again. Don't get up and do it again and do it again. And finally, you get into a role. You may do several days in a row, may do several weeks in a row, and then there's the interruptions again. What advice do you give to people who, for them to deal with the issues of life's interruptions for exercise?
You know, for us, work can always, it can take priority. But for me, I want to be healthy. for myself, to be there for my husband, to be there for my girls, our kids. We don't have much family left, honestly. I've lost my mom due to multiple myeloma, and my father actually took his life, which was really hard on us. And I lost my sister. I only have one sister. And likewise, Lane has lost most of his family, too, due to different health reasons, if you want to.
My sister had ALS, and that was probably the hardest thing I've watched somebody go through for 12 years.
Because she was very strong. She would ride horses and all that.
There was a point in time when I felt like I had to check, because I thought her arm was probably bigger than mine. She was pretty strong. And that went away, and it was a hard thing to watch.
Lou Gehrig syndrome, right?
Yeah, it's
Lou Gehrig. Yeah.
That is pure tragedy, pure tragedy.
So for us, you guys, we make it a priority. We just do, because we are not gifted the next day. You don't know. You have to be thankful and grateful for every day, and I really want to live life to the fullest, and I want to live in a healthy way. So for me, exercise is important, and I don't negotiate much on it. I make it a priority, and if we can't, it's not always about a class. It might be, let's go for a walk around the block, right?
Last night she told me I needed to get on my bike and go ride, because she felt I needed to have a better outlook in life at the moment. And she knows.
I know my husband.
She knows from association that if I go ride the bike, I come back in a better mood than...
Oh, that's so true. Yeah.
Than when I started out. So.
And so this morning when I got up, I looked in the garage. The truck was still there. The motorcycle was still there. But Lane's not there. And then I saw his bike was missing. And I'm looking outside, and it's like lightning and raining. And he took off today and got up to Triple Tree, and then it started dumping up there, right? But he still came back in a great mood, you guys. It is like magic. It's magic.
Now, let me ask this. You've set the perfect model. Are your kids into exercise?
Yes, in different ways they are. My youngest, so we have three kids. We have a blended family. The two oldest ones, Lane's son is 29, my daughter is 29, and my youngest daughter's 27.
Yeah,
he's 30. Oh, that's right. He just turned 30. Okay. Anyway, the girls both like to go to the gym. And they like to lift weights, and they actually don't go to class as much. But Kristen really likes to get outside and hike and do that. And she takes her dogs for a walk. Gavin, on the other hand, go ahead. He went through a hard time.
He had serious depression for many years from high school, probably age 16, 17 on for a number of years. Actually,
in fact,
struggled a lot with alcohol and other things with stuff
and depression and
all the whole time, and then he was extremely, he was at a very, very low point in his life. We study books that talk about the scale of consciousness, and Gavin was getting near the bottom of that. He was exhibiting lethargy and in an inability to think. He wouldn't eat. He had self-image problems associated with things. And eventually, he stopped the job that he had gotten into, which was painting, and he started working in trail crews for the Montana Conservation Corps. And he has totally changed his trajectory on what things are about, what's important to him. He used to play video games and
all the time
and stuff, and that was what he was about. And now his job is working outside, doing trail crew maintenance, trail rebuilding, building bridges, different things in Yellowstone National Park. And he spends 9 days at a time out in the woods. And he's carrying heavy loads and working hard. And he came to realize that he needed to eat if he was going to work like that. So he overcame an eating problem as well associated with that to the point where he now is,
He's so strong. He's like a new man.
The outlook and perspective that he has on life is so different than it was before.
Blessed activity. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm. It's a total credit to just activity. Being... It's activity and nature and not nature. Looking at
oh, yeah.
screens.
There's so much research to support both activity and being out in nature for mood elevation and mental health. And I will say, speaking of kids and grandkids, that one wonderful thing about that first mistaken half marathon is that later our daughter ran with us, and then our grandson did his first 10K with us, and it just sort of started the ball rolling for the family that exercise was a very good, fun thing. So everybody out there, remember, you're a model for your family, for your neighbors, for everyone. So,
and we did a Spartan race together once with all the kids except Sarah was not able to. Uh-oh, now our kitty's here.
Hi, kitty. Our dog perked up her ears hearing the cat.
Oh, yeah, he just wants some love. But anyway, we did a Spartan race up in Kalispell together, just the shorter one, but I'd never done anything like that. I said, how are we going to go across the monkey bars right after we go under a mud wall, you know, and all this? And the girl, and Kristen goes, Mom, don't leave me. Don't leave me in the dust, you know? And it turns out that we waited with them. And then in the end, Hare and Gavin, they took off and beat us.
Oh, how perfect.
Yeah. We all did it together. And
we've done those. I recommend everybody to consider doing one. Yeah. They're so fun and hilarious. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. But I think if people find themselves stressed out about things, you were talking about emotional eating and how controlling that can be. I can very much relate to that because when I left home in Great Falls and went to college, I was trying my best to do my best in school in the engineering program, and I got all messed up with emotional eating and basically got a eating disorder, which was so hard for me. And I'm telling you, the only way I got out of it was to start being with other people and start moving my body and being and bringing the exercise in. And really, that's what, I don't know where I'd be right now
if I had not went
through that, like your friend or the story you read about Anna, I think.
Yeah.
I wasn't overweight, but it was so emotionally draining. I don't know if I'd be around if I was still in that mode.
And thank you for sharing with us that it's the interactions with others and also getting out and exercising. From Harvard University, they said, have you ever noticed how your body feels when you're under stress? Your muscles may be tense, especially in your face, neck, and shoulders, leaving you with back or neck pain or painful headaches. You may feel a tightness in your chest, a pounding pulse, or muscle cramps. You may also experience problems such as insomnia, heartburn, stomach ache, diarrhea, or frequent urination. The worry and discomfort of all these physical symptoms due to stress can in turn lead to even more stress, creating a vicious cycle between your mind and body. Exercising is an effective way to break this cycle, as well as releasing endorphins in the brain. Physical activity helps to relax the muscles and relieve tension in the body. Since the body and mind are so closely linked, when your body feels better, so too will your mind.
So true. I love that.
And they go on to talk about, in this Harvard study, which was an overview of all studies of exercise, the benefits of exercise for ADHD, for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and trauma, depression. If you exercise, and each one of these involves very deep, wonderful studies to check and see, is it really true? And so they're at the 95.5% true level here. That's the number that we have to get to in our searching, in our research. Exercise helps memory and thinking. It also stimulates the growth of new brain cells and helps prevent age-related decline. It provides higher self-esteem. And you feel better about your appearance by meeting even small exercise goals. You feel a sense of achievement. Oh, and something that so many people struggle with, better sleep. And yoga is one that a lot of research has been done on helping with sleep, Shirley, which you teach. More energy comes from increasing your heart rate at least several times a week. You'll have a lot more get up and go. Just a few minutes of exercise per day and you'll feel more energized. And also stronger resilience. You build resilience and cope in a healthy way. It's more likely that you won't resort to alcohol, drugs, or other negative behaviors that only make your symptoms worse. So those are some of the things that Harvard pointed out that really are instrumental to our mental health and happiness.
It's just overwhelming, the evidence. It's like, why would you not try something simple? And you don't know what will work for you. You know, but there's so many options.
And you know, I've read several studies that say it doesn't have to be running a half marathon.
No.
A stiff walk or a little run for 15 minutes a day. Of course, daily is good. Not everybody can do that. But even three times a week made a difference in people's health and fitness. So you don't have to suffer to get results. If you have 15 to 30 minutes, if you don't, maybe start with 5 or 10 minutes. And the more you exercise, the more you'll feel ready. I wouldn't recommend starting with a half marathon, but, you know.
Like you did.
One of the things that can experience with this for people who are starting in is there is the potential at this point for injuries. And that's there's the potential for the use it or lose it thing. For me, it was flexibility. My personal experience was such I was always active and then for a number of years had stopped doing it. And I became effectively unable to flex or bend in my thoracic region. And I went skiing and had a wreck and broke two vertebrae. Ooh. And I ended up picking myself up off the hill and skiing down and met a woman who does massage and yoga, both. And I went
She's
through,
one of four people I, in the country.
I went through a specific program with her and focused a lot on learning how to move again and improve the flexibility and bring it back. And the exercises that I was given, I felt like a new person again. I felt it happened when I was about 30, and I felt like I was 17 again. The range of motion and the lack of pain in the joints and everything in the spine was amazing to experience. I gained an inch and a half in height in a month.
How?
Because
that?
Of,
you had lost
because
it.
I had lost it.
Yeah.
When I went into the chiropractor to check the broken bones and check my height, and a month and a half later, I was back at my original height again. And it was a very eye-opening thing to experience. Since then, I tend to be a bit of a weekend warrior, and I hurt myself now and then from going at things rather aggressively, maybe, on my mountain bike. But and sometimes off the mountain bike. But massage is something that I have found to be a huge benefit in dealing with helping remove problems that impair motion. And so I have a huge respect for that and highly recommend that for people who may encounter difficulties.
Thank you for that good advice. And I can relate with having an injury in my 70s. I was doing sit-ups on some parallel bars at work. I had my feet under one side and I was sitting on the other side up on top, and I was swinging down to do a sit-up, and I'd done quite a few when the bars broke loose and it slammed me down on the concrete floor and broke a couple of bones in my upper back, and I was really distressed. It was quite painful. And we'd been swimming, we'd been running, we'd been doing, you know, like bicycle rides, long ones. And so here I was impaired. And just like you, you have to stop and think, oh dear, is this going to end things? But, you know, I remember starting out just by walking back and forth on the shallow end of the pool. And that was a good start because it was gentle. And then you gradually learn which things you can do to exercise, and you can come all the way back within about 3 months. I was back doing my other things again. So, and that was in 70s. So you guys, you've got a lot of time to keep coming back from things, and it still works.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Don't give up. Just small things, little changes at a time to keep you moving. Yeah.
I think what we're...
I agree.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was saying what we're talking about is really a remedy for some problems that this area has that we read about and hear about too often, is that Gallatin County is rated as the number one county in the nation with the use of alcohol. I don't know, many people have heard that, but number one out of the whole United States, high rate of alcohol consumption. And Montana is number one in suicide, or near the top in almost every poll that's taken, and not only for adults, but also for teenagers. And exercise, getting into that, substituting the whatever gains alcohol give you with filling up temporarily, endorphins could be better. And those also help one not be depressed and not get into a position of wanting to take one's life. So how can we get people out there to exercise?
I in my walk of life, even at work, I am constantly inviting people to come and join. Come and join in and just try something. See if it might be for them. The way that you and I, or all four of us, connected was through dance, through an event at the Ellen, right, Suzanne?
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, dance is not for everyone, but the one thing I didn't share is that performance that we're going to do here in September. If people are interested at all in getting more involved in learning different types of dance, the Independ Dance Project has a website where you can check out classes. One of my best friends from Argentina is doing a class every Thursday night at 5:30. It's $10 a class. You could learn some salsa, you could learn some different dance. And maybe that's not for you, but I guess my point in answering your question was, if you have friends that you feel might be down, just invite them to go for a walk with you. Invite them to go try out a different class with you, right? Just walking and talking with one person can so change their mood.
Absolutely. And invite them to go to the dance project at 5:30. $10 is a very reasonable fee for a class, yes.
Yeah. I can send you that website too. But Lane was going to say, what were you saying?
I think the thing about it is often people think of themselves as unique or alone. And there's more than enough evidence out there that suggests that we are far more alike than not. A thing that works for someone else will likely work for you as well. And I think that's a thing where people, as the woman who found that she was unable to fit in the rides found, she had to come to making a choice. And if you just you have to be open to the idea. And anybody, I think, in a situation who is struggling, if at some point can be able to honestly reflect and ask themselves, can they make a different choice? It's difficult to make someone do anything. You can invite, you can do other things, but in encouraging people is huge. But it also has to be accompanied with a little bit of willpower, because there are going to be challenges along the way.
So let's think of ways to sweeten the deal. And let's not ask them, you want to go to a half marathon with me? Let's ask them, would you like to take a walk? I like that approach. And yeah. Then, you know, from there, you could develop it, because reaching out to people, being a model for people, working with people, is one of the greater joys in life and the satisfaction that comes from that. And, you know, I think all of us long to do that thing of being connected to people. It's just a basic human aspect. So what you're saying really had some power there. Thank you, Lane.
Yep. I think just inviting people to do something simple.
And, you know, when you do your exercises, I just remembered something that once we started running, you can find sports that you can do anywhere. We got to travel for our anniversary after I'd been running a little bit, and Arliss always ran. And I remember being in Paris for our anniversary, and we started over in the Spanish Quarter one evening, a beautiful Paris evening in October, and we ran all the way down the River Seine to the Eiffel Tower. And there were people all along the way and gardens beside the river. And then we ran all the way back. And we've been able to run in Japan and Australia.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong was wonderful.
Wow.
And so, you know, take it with you.
It was very steep. Did you say steep?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he did.
Very steep.
Hong Kong was amazing.
Yeah, anyway. Was it Mount? What is the Mount right outside? Suzanne kind of got lost running around that that mountain.
Yeah, and I did.
Tai Mo Shan.
Pardon?
Tai Mo Shan is the big one.
Yeah,
I believe
it was, and we were all in a group, and I kind of was wandering around looking at things and got apart from the group. But that was funny, and it was getting dark, and I was on a mountainside not knowing if the trail was going to end up where they were. It was pretty funny. But I just would like to encourage people to think of, there's a lot of joy in being able to achieve some exercise, and it's the positive kind of stuff. And you know, you can enroll in dance classes or take a class anywhere in the world, there'll be people to find. And so whatever your passion, and it sounds like, Lane, you've just had so many different things that you do that have all been interconnected with health and happiness and friendships.
Yeah. Sailing, snorkeling, these are things that started, you know, with my grandparents, actually, and my uncle, but then we took it with an invitation to start traveling and seeing other places in the Caribbean or other things, and that was part of our honeymoon, was to go do that. But we learned up to kids on how to sail a boat, and they all can, you know, snorkel down to 50, 60 feet deep, and it's a fun thing that we love to do, to travel and you know, things, they don't cost a lot to have, you know, your walking shoes and things like this, You know, by the time you try to rent a boat, that's a whole different story. But if you end up somewhere near the ocean, swimming, or in the lakes, you know, we go up into the mountains and hike up here and go swimming in the lakes up at Lava Lake or somewhere like that. And it's just, there's something invigorating. There's talk about cold water immersion having benefits that rival cocaine in terms of, and have longer lasting effects in terms of the endorphin aspect and the positive things that come out of jumping in cold water. So there are so many things to do.
And one of the ways that I talk about at the end of my yoga class to ground yourself if you've lost confidence in your intuition or whatever, is to get out in nature. And if you can walk without your shoes on, like on a beach, that is one of the best ways to try to ground yourself. Or you could jump in a cold lake, like we do. But hiking here, there's beautiful places to hike here. Grab some people. That doesn't cost anything. We've also been able to take some friends over to Austria and hike. And you're talking about steep mountains over there. It's beautiful. And we've been able to go on hikes in Austria and Italy and really bond with people in that way and really get to know people. So it builds relationships, it builds trust. It's beautiful in all ways with this exercise, even if it's just walking.
Yeah, especially if it's walking. And that is a wonderful thing to do or way to start other things. So maybe let's all out here in the audience decide to invite a neighbor to go on a walk with us this week. I know I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. I'll do it too.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right.
We have about a couple of minutes before we end. Would you tell the audience again how to get a hold of you?
Sure. I would say the best way would be to email me at the email I said before, which is Shirley, Shirley, at livelifefitmt.com. Or just call me, you know, leave a message, because I get a lot of spam calls. So if you don't leave a message, then I probably won't call that number back. But please do. My number is 406-570-9046. And if you want to reach Lane, you could text him as well or call him. Go ahead with your...
My number is 406-580-9879.
And we're happy to help, you know, in any way, whether it's what goals you have, you know, in terms of your health. You know, there's lots of things that, this is my passion. I mean, we both work hard at our laser engineering job, but we love to help people with their health too, and to feel better and to be happy. That's what I think is important.
Well, you know, Shirley and Lane, we were impressed with, we're both engineers working in the field. I mean, that's quite a resplendent achievement. But then you're doing all of this work with all of the people in the community. So we want to really commend your wonderful ethics for work, exercise, family, and all the values that all of that entails. So we're really proud of you guys.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, we'd love to meet up with you guys again sometime, and people out in the audience too.
Exactly. Let's all plan on it. And again, I'm going to ask a neighbor to take a walk with me this week.
Mm-hmm. Excellent action item.
We'd like to urge all of our listeners in Gallatin County to listen carefully, to listen to this again as it is on KGVM.org. What Shirley and Lane have to say about exercise and the benefits of it. And hopefully you really will take that first step, get out, move around. It can help you in so many different ways. And we urge Gallatin County to listen to our show again on Monday evening and Thursday mornings. And this is KGVM 95.9, and we hope to see you again next time. Thank you again, audience.